Follow along. We're going to begin reading in Acts the fourth chapter, beginning in the 31st verse, Acts chapter 4 and verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet. And distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And Joseph, whose by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted, the son of consolation, a Levite and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Chapter 5. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession, and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost, and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whiles it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out, and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, Tell me, whether ye sold the land for so much? And she said, Yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, How is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet, and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church, and upon as many as heard these things. That was reading Acts, the fourth chapter, verses 31 through the fifth chapter, and verse 11, for our reading lesson today. And the thought that's on our heart today is going to be found in the second verse of that fifth chapter. It says that there, after Ananias and Sapphira sold that possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. Now, this was a very unique time in the infant church that the Lord had established here on the earth. And they had desired in their hearts to basically come together and to sell everything that they had and to take part one with another and to provide one for another. Now, I'm in agreement and believing today that, you know, God is not necessarily asking us to be exactly to this extent like they were, but I do feel like the Lord would want us to be willing to be if it was necessary for the sustainment and for the stability of our church and for our people. But I want to focus on that second verse today and ask a question with the Lord's help. What part might you have kept back? What part might I have kept back from serving the Lord. Now, I'm not going to speak specifically on monetary things today, but that is easier sometimes for us to understand and to comprehend those things, that a lot of times we like to hold things back, don't we? We like to hold back and to hold on to part of things that we think are really ours. The Bible teaches me, and the psalmist said in the long ago, that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. It's all His. Everything that we have, the air that we breathe, the shoes that we wear, the clothes on our back, the things that we have are the Lord's, if we're really honest with ourselves. And things that we try to hold back and may be hindering us and may be causing us to struggle. And our people have been, if we're not in this message, I've got to look in the mirror today. I've got to look at me. I can't search your heart. I can't look at anyone else's soul today and ask you where you're at. But this message is a personal message today for me, and I pray for each and every one of you as well, that we would find out what part have we kept back. You see, it's very dangerous for a saved person to hold back from serving God. I believe that. It's very dangerous from us to hold anything back from the Lord. When I recollect and I think of the night the Lord saved me, I don't know about you, but I made a vow to the Lord. I made a vow to Him to promise that He would have my life, that He would have my service and my desires, my hopes, my dreams. My life was His if He would only save me. If you've ever truly been saved by God's grace, be honest with yourself. You gave everything over to the Lord. You gave it all over to Him. And doesn't He own it all anyways? He owns the cattle of 1,000 hills. He owns everything. And especially, I would say, He owns us that are saved, because we have been purchased. We have been bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. So the vows that we make to God and the promises, I've heard people swear up and down, Lord, if You'll do this in my life, I'll do this for You. If You'll save this person, God, I'll live for You. If You'll heal this person, if You'll do this. And we try to deal with God. But the Lord makes it very plain to us that if you're going to make a vow with anything, but especially with God, you better hold true to it. It's a very serious matter. I believe so serious that God, if we don't hold up our end like we should, and many of us don't, if we're honest with ourselves, that God would be just in taking our lives out, just like He did Ananias and Sapphira. And I still fear God. I fear the power and the majesty and the holiness of God in my life. I pray as an example of the fear that I have for the Lord. And it's not a fear that I'm worried of what He's going to take from me or what He's going to do to me. It's a loving fear that should be inside of each and every one of His children in a service for the Lord, that we do what we do for God because we fear and reverence Him, but it's out of our love for Him and respect that we have for His authority and for His power. Ananias and Sapphira were half-heartedly serving the Lord. If we are not careful, we will find ourselves going through the motions of half-heartedly serving the Lord. You see, many people, many times throughout history, we can see of what half-heartedly serving the Lord does. We can look back, can't we, and see the men and women who diligently, maybe early on in life, got saved and tried to serve the Lord, but as time came and you got older and the world began to weigh heavy upon you and the things of this world became desirable, it may pull you a little further away, because it is. It's going to pull and tug on each and every one of us each and every day of our lives. That's why it's important to stay close to the Lord, that God can help us. I don't know, but I think of Lot. I think of how Lot was raised correctly, how he was raised with his kindred, and how Abram, he tried his best to point in the right direction, but Lot desired the greener pasture. He desired the prettier land, and it got him in trouble because of his focus on the world. What happened? Lost his family, didn't he, over it? He lost his wife. Lost all that he had because of his distraction and because of him holding back part of serving God. We can't hold anything back. I made mention about vowing a vow to the Lord and how important that it is. If we are to make a vow to the Lord about what we are doing, and that's what Peter and the apostles were telling Ananias and Sapphira, and I can't point any fingers today. I've got to take this message home with me as much as anybody else does. But you ask God, have you held anything back today? Ask God what may be standing in our way, because I want to see conviction fall upon our lost people. I want to see our churches thriving like I know that they can be. I want to see my life being an example that God would be pleased with. And it's not all about the money that we're holding back sometimes. Sometimes to me, my personal life, it's easier to give that than it is to give some of the other things. Give our time. Well, time is valuable. You don't realize how valuable time is until you start seeing maybe somebody your age, somebody that you love, somebody close to you pass away. There was a young man, 35 years old, a friend of mine, Josh Nash, passed away about 2 weeks ago. And boy, it makes you realize how valuable that time is. And you know, it's also valuable that we spend time with God. That's something that we have kept back. Part of, isn't it? Many of us, we make sure that we make time for everything. And a lot of my struggle and our struggle, it seems to be, is me time. I've got to have my me time. I've got to have time where I can dedicate me time. What if we took that me time and put it into God time? And spent time with the Lord, it'd be some of the best me time you ever have. I promise you it will be. God will bless you so much for putting Him before you. And you know what? It's easy to get things backwards. As I was praying and meditating about the message today, it seems as though we've got everything reversed. You see, I put me first so much of the time, and then a lot of it's our family and our loved ones. And then, you know, we find time for God. But if we'd get these things straightened out and put God first, and then our loved ones and the church and everyone else, and then maybe if there's a little bit of time for us, if we'd get things straightened out, God would bless us a lot more. But we've got it reversed. Too much of us, we've got it reversed. Now, if you are truly saved, you made a vow to God. You may not have said, I promise. You may not have wrote down on a piece of paper. But I believe all those that are truly the children of God have given their life to Him. Surrendered it all. That's the only way you can be saved, is to repent and to trust into God, to His satisfaction. Numbers in the 30th chapter, in the first verse, and Moses spake unto the heads of the tribes concerning the children of Israel, saying, this is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. If a man vow a vow unto the Lord, or swear an oath to bind his soul with a bond, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceedeth out of his mouth. How many of us have broken our vows to the Lord? How many of us have fallen short in things that we have kept back from the Lord? Many of us, we get our hearts and minds fixed on one thing. We're trying to build a house right now, and I've got to confess that my mind, boy, it gets real stuck on things that need to be done on building that house. It does. I'm kind of like a one-track mind kind of guy. And I can't look at anybody else other than me, but I'll get my mind on something, you know, I want to get it done. want to get it past me. I want to get it over with. I'm thankful that we chose to hire a contractor, because I'd have been a mess if I was out there trying to figure everything out, which way it needed to go. And I prayed about that. I think you should, about big decisions, about things like that. But we get our minds and our hearts so, thank you, brother, so focused on one thing instead of on the Lord, we lose sight of the important things. We hold on to things that really are not important, and we get our hearts to where they don't need to be. Joshua, in the 6th chapter, God gave the children of Israel a warning, told them, I'm going to deliver Jericho into your hands. I'm going to give you the city, but when you get there, don't take of any of the accursed things that are there in the city. Don't take of the gold and the silver, all those things, the gold and the silver, all the price of the rich things, they're the Lord's. Don't take of them. You know, some things are just God's things. And we need to stay hands off. We need to let God. That's when somebody tries to get in the matter of a person being saved by God's grace. Those are things that are in God's care that we can't get in the middle of. It's between them and God. We can pray for someone. We can tell them that Jesus is the only way to God. But at some point we need to stay hands off and let God do His work with them. So God gave them a message. It says, and it came to pass in the 16th verse of that 6th chapter of Joshua, at the 7th time when the priests blew the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city, and the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, and she and all that are with her in her house, because she hid the messengers that were sent. And ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed when ye take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. I believe the Bible teaches, and you can agree with me or disagree, but I believe the Bible teaches that we should try and strive to tithe the tenth of what we can. I believe the Bible teaches that. At least the tenth is a tithe unto the Lord, and anything above that is an offering. And I think that God teaches that in His Word. But if we hold back some of our things, do you expect that God is going to continue to bless us? Now, I'm not talking about just money. It's easy to see money. I'm talking about everything. How much do we hold back from the Lord? How much do we desire to have for our own? All that I have is God's, that He's blessed me with. The job that He's given me to provide for my family, He's given that to me. The strength to do the things that I need to do to provide, He's given those things. And if I'm going to hold anything back, you see, the way I look at it, it's His, and I'm just trying to borrow it and take care of it. And if I take care of it in a way, if I'm not a good steward of the things that God has blessed me with, and it dishonors Him, it dishonors me, it dishonors the church that I'm a member of, because God is the one that's blessed me to be a steward, to take care of the things that He's blessed me with. And I go and I do those things that are displeasing to the Lord. It doesn't bring Him honor and glory. The 7th chapter, but the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. It doesn't just affect you if you hold back something from God. It affects you. It affects your family. It affects the church. It really does. The children of Israel went to AI to go to battle against them. They had just marched around the walls of Jericho, and God had delivered that city. They had went over Jordan on dry land. God was showing, I'm going to give you the promised land. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to give you a land that's flowing with milk and honey. The least that you can do is give me your service, give me the first fruits of your inheritance, and just serve me. Put me first. So they went up to battle against Ai, and we know that they tucked their tails and ran. Didn't send up all the men because they said, this will be an easy battle. This will be an easy fight. We'll go and we'll destroy those men. But you know, it doesn't matter if it's an easy battle. If we're not right with God, we're going to lose. We better get our hearts right with God so we can win the battles in this world. Amen. We've been losing too many. And it's not God's fault. He's the victor. He's already won the victory. He's always on the winning side. But when we pick against Him, we lose. The children of Israel all suffered. People died because of one man's sin. You know, there are still children dying and going to hell because of our sins. It's their sins that they're going to go there for. Don't get me wrong. The blood's on their hands, but I don't want any on mine too. Each and every one of us will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We'll all have to give an account for our own self, but is there blood on our hands because we've held something back from the Lord? What have we held back? People suffered. Men died because of it. People are dying and going to hell because of our holding back. Let us give it all up to the Lord. The church was on fire. There were people getting saved. The Bible says daily added to the church such as should be saved. We can still have that power, but we got to give it all back to the Lord. When God blessed us with children, we had prayed for a long time. But the first thing we wanted to do was pray and give them back to the Lord. God, you blessed us with them, but they're yours. Thank you for them. We'll try to raise them up the way you would have us to, but they're yours. Oh, that mother that prayed for her son Samuel. He prayed, didn't he? Didn't she? But she gave him back. Achan, he failed. The children of Israel were hurting. They were struggling. So Joshua did all he knew to do. He went and prayed. That's what we need to start doing, is we need to pray. That God would show us our problem. Show us my problem. That's the psalmist David. We know that he wasn't a perfect man, but he said, Lord, search me and try me. Show me if there's any wicked part in me. If there's anything I'm holding back from you. If there's something standing in my way of serving the Lord, let God show it to us and let's get it out of the way and let's serve the Lord. Move on. Joshua begged God, pleaded with God. He said, it's not my fault, it's yours, Joshua. Y'all are the ones that made a mess and got yourselves in this shape. You need to deal with the sin that you're holding on to. Deal with the things that you're keeping back from me that I said were mine. Give it all back to me. They went and brought the elders of each of the tribes before, and Achan came up. The 19th verse of the 7th chapter, and Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done, and hide it not from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. You might say today, well, this message just isn't for me. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Every one of us is not perfect before God. in the fleshly matter. Our souls are. They're purified in the precious blood of the Lamb. But we can always work on ourselves for the Lord. There's always a need for sanctification, for purification of our hearts and souls before God. He says, when I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonianish garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them. It's probably not a garment, or it might be silver or gold that we covet after, but every one of us has our heart, if we're not careful, fixed on something in this world that's not the things of God. We have something that, whether it be the new house, or whether it be a new car, or whether it be the things, all I can do is point fingers at me. I can't look at you today, but every one of us, we get our hearts and we covet after something, and it hinders our fellowship and our worship with God, because our heart's desire, we have a master that's not the true master. He said, I coveted them and took them. And behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran into the tent, and behold, it was hid in his tent, and the silver under it. And they took them out of the midst of the tent, and brought them unto Joshua and all the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. And you know, that's what part of the reasons that we come to church is for, is to get our lives straightened out. This altar is not just for lost people, it's for us too, that we might repent of our sins. God, help us as a people to repent that we're not where we need to be, and that God would have mercy upon us and our lost people, on our churches, that we might give everything back to Him the way we need to. That we would repent, bring it all out in front of the Lord. You know, God's a merciful God. His mercy is higher than the heavens. When He sent Jonah out of Nineveh, He told them that if you'll repent, He said, I'm going to destroy this city. But they repented. Many of them, even the king, repented. They brought it out before the Lord. Joshua took all Israel with him, and took Achan the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garment, and the wedge of gold, and his sons, and his daughters, and his oxen, and his asses, and his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had, and they brought him into the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. All Israel stoned them with stones and burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. And they raised up over a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of His anger. Oh, that our Lord would turn from the fierceness of His anger, that we might be a plenteous land again for Him, a fruitful land. You know, our trees don't have to be barren. They can be fruitful. Our churches can be successful. And I believe they are. They have been. That's why they're still here. They're still preaching the truth. There's success in that. And the gospel's still going out. And the church still sending the gospel light. She's still working. There's success in that. The Lord turned from the fierceness of His anger. Wherefore the name of the place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day. Achan was the guilty party, but his family suffered greatly too. Our families suffer too when we hold back from the Lord. And a lot of times it's not an immediate reaction. Sometimes it happens later on as the children grow up, later on in years, because of what we might have done or not done. We see the effects of it, don't we? But that doesn't mean that we can't do better right now. That doesn't mean that we can't surrender all to the Lord. I made mention about how that tithing, about those things. But I believe it's a lot more than money. I think it's everything that we're holding back from the Lord. Many of us serve God in a ritualistic attitude, a lot like the Pharisees. And I'm going to be, again, myself. We go through the motions. We do the tithing. We do the things that are outwardly that people might see to make sure we're staying where people can see. But how is our heart with God? Where's our heart? Are we really giving it all that we've got? Isaiah in the 29th chapter warned of this. Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near to me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. He was talking of the children of Israel and the Jewish people, but I'm afraid it's crept into our churches today, into our lives. I'm guilty as probably more than anybody. Going through the motions because we know it's the right thing to do. But where's our heart at? Where's our heart at? Therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among this people. Even a marvelous wonder and work, for the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hid. Woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord, and their works are in the dark. And they say, who seeth us? And who knoweth us? What's done in secret, God knows as much as what's done in public. God knows our lives. I hope you see that this message is a message out of love, and it's not out of spite or out of pointing fingers, because I'm hurting as much as you are today. I want to see our people successful in the service of the Lord. I want to see Mount Calvary Church succeed in doing things that are pleasing to God. I want to see our lost people under conviction and our power the way we need to have it. I know that God can do that for us, but we've got to be willing to do our part. We have to be willing. God wants nothing more than to bless His people. He wants to bless us because it brings honor and glory to Him. Malachi, in the 3rd chapter, he says here, I'm going to read starting in the 1st verse, behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and like a fuller's soap. We still need the refining fire of the Word of God. We still need God to clean up our lives. My prayer this morning before I come to preach this message was, God, that you would purge me through your Word and through your mercy and your truth, that you would get me as a fit candidate that I can present your Word. And he shall sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. God wants us to offer an offering in righteousness. Romans, the 12th chapter, talks about the type of offering that God is pleased with in our lives. He talks about how that we are to give our bodies as a living sacrifice, doesn't he? Which is just our reasonable service. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old, as in the former years. And I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers and against the adulterers. When it starts talking about those things, it's easy for us to see sorcerers and adulterers, those sinners that are out there. But then he says, and against false swearers. Who are false swearers? Those that don't hold up their end of the bargain. Swear to make a deal. Promise. God, despises when people don't tell the truth. And if we make a promise to God and we don't hold up that promise, we are a liar. It's just the truth. And against those that oppress the hireling in his wages, the widow, the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right, and fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts, for I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Thank you, Lord. That's why we're still here today. That's why God is still on His throne, because He doesn't change. He's a loving, merciful God. He says, even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from mine ordinances, and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? We've done all we know to do. We've gone through the motions. We're doing our part. But are we doing it to the best of our potential? Are we giving God what He really deserves of the first fruits of our lives? Or is He getting the sloppy seconds? Let's look at our lives and see. All I can do is point and look in the mirror. It's all I can do. And beg God to have mercy on me. To do better now than I've done before. To give Him the best. I'm sure glad Jesus gave the best. He didn't give part of it. He didn't give half His life. But He gave it all. And we're the beneficiaries of His sacrifice. But God ought to be the beneficiary of our sacrifice and of our service. Because He deserves everything we have to offer and then some. For all He's done for me. But wherein shall we return? How we get back to God? Will a man rob God every day? Forgive me, Lord. Oh, how we've robbed God. Yet have you robbed me? It's not always about money. But we've robbed Him of a lot of honor and glory through the years. We've robbed Him of so much. Wherein have we robbed Thee in tithes and offerings? You are cursed with a curse, for ye've robbed me, even this whole nation. Oh, but thank you, Lord, for your promises. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith. We've made mistakes. We failed the Lord, but He still blesses us to be able to bring what we have to offer Him. I don't have a lot I can offer to the Lord, but He loves what I have. And He is grateful and thankful for what we bring. And it's an honor to bring what we can to the Lord. He says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. We need God to pour His Spirit out upon us, that we can't handle it. I long for those services that we just can't stand it, that we have to shout the praises of God because of how much He has poured His Spirit out upon us. But we have got to get our hearts and our minds and our lives in a shape that God can do that for us. We've got to get where we need to be. God, I believe, is standing there with the pitcher in His hand, ready to open up those windows and pour out the blessings on our lives. But we have got to get where God would have us to be. He says, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, And he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast out her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. God's church is still blooming and blossoming, still bringing forth fruits to the Lord that would bring Him honor and glory. But I believe that through the cultivation of the Word of God and the power of the Spirit of God, that she can grow even prettier as a beautiful tree to the Lord that would bring in fruits and offerings to Him that He would be pleased with. I pray that we're not holding any part back from the Lord. That if there's something that God's tugging at your heartstring that you need to let go of, that something that might stand in your way, thank the Lord that our forefathers, they didn't hold back, did they? They didn't hold back when God said to move from out of the Virginias and the Carolinas and come this way. They didn't hold anything back. They left it all and they just come on through to spread the gospel. They didn't hold any part back. And we are beneficiaries of their service for the Lord. I'm thankful for those forefathers. I'm thankful for Brother Hillman that left a good example for us. He always had a smile on his face. I loved seeing him for what he was in his service for the Lord. We've had a lot of good ones go before us, haven't we? That we love and appreciate their service and their works still follow them. Let us leave our works behind as well. Let's work while we can so that others that come behind will be able to enjoy the benefits of what we have laid for them. Thank you for listening to us today. Let's have a song. If you need to come up to the altar to pray, you do that today. Just everyone get in touch with the Lord if you need to come and pray. But everyone mind the Lord today. This is His service. Thank you for listening to us. If we can, let's have a song. Mind the Lord.